Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's an average, everyday, normal Oscar special. Just like every other Oscar special we've done since the beginning of this podcast. Nothing special to talk about. This Oscar special.
This Oscar special. I don't know, guy, maybe you couldn't hear the music that it ended. It ended like,
yeah,
10 seconds.
Yeah, it was kind of cutting out a little bit, but it was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm, everybody. How's it going? I'm Travis.
Hi, everybody. I am Brandon, and welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we talk to you about the ups and downs of popular culture and media and mediums. Let's talk about Kodak film.
Do we talk about the ups and downs of psychics? Is that something we do?
Ooh,
like mediums.
It could be. It could very not psychic.
Sometimes they predict your future, and it doesn't happen. It's a down day.
Today,
can't all be winners.
Today we're going into a deep dive about Sylvia Brown. How many murders has she solved? Zero.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Zero. All right. Before we get into our annual Oscar spectacular, we have a little bit of business to get taken care of first. So bear with us. If you're new to this show, if you're just joining us for the first time and you want to keep up with us on social media, there are plenty of ways you can do that. You can follow this podcast at Apathusiast on Twitter. I am at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic. Enthusiasm show, or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram, pictures of sushi and all sorts of fun stuff at apathetic_enthusiasm, or you can go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com, for all the podcasts that we make, including this one, Interdimensional RSS, submitted for your approval, Twilight Zone podcast, and any other discontinued podcast that may or may not exist out there. Anyway, you can watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. ish Central Time. That's at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Follow us on Twitch so that you can be notified when we go live. Or it may be your busy Monday nights. You can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Catch video versions of all our podcasts right over there. Finally, buy our love. Support the show directly. patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you to all of the patrons over at patreon.com. You are the best.
That's our new song. That's not our new song. I take that back.
This isn't the show where you do intros, Brandon.
No, it's not.
You don't do intro music on the show.
Ah, damn it. Well, that's okay. We'll learn to live. How are things going, Travis?
Oh, you know, they're swell. I feel like it's been so long since we got to do this. It's been a dog's age.
Yeah,
assuming the dog only lives a month.
I think some dogs do only live a month. Usually, if they're sickly or they get eaten by wolves.
Yeah. In that case, that's a dog's age. I'm fine. I'm continuing to print lots of things that I don't need or serve no purpose other than to take up space on my desk. Mm. I have been printing lots of things, but I've not been painting lots of things.
Okay.
Which means I have an extensive backlog of things I need to paint.
Okay.
But I feel somewhat guilty painting because it is a very personal habit, or like practice. So I've been spending a lot of time with family doing lots of things. Mm. And so, yeah, it's been good. How are you been?
I've been pretty good. I was on a trip last week up to the DC area, and I have various friends who are up in DC. Bob Carroll is one of them. Sorry, wow. Bob.
Long time supporter of this podcast.
if you're listening, Bob, sorry, I was up there and I didn't hang out with you.
Surprise.
But a lot of other friends there that just like, my friend Eric Freudner, he was there. He was actually on a trip up there from
long time listener, first time caller.
But lots of people up there. So that was kind of cool. Got back here. I did buy a house, and so got back from a trip, moved some stuff over to the new house, and that's kind of cool. A little bit stressful of being like, okay, what, like timing leaving this house that we're in currently, and like when do we need to switch everything over for the new house, and is the place we're renting from going to let us out of our lease 12 days early, you know, stuff like that. The answer is no. They're going to make us pay for those prorated days like a bunch of cool dudes. Anyway.
Sounds just like America. So that means we get yet another background change for you in whatever new version of a studio you cook up in your next place. Looking very much forward to that.
It's gonna be great. So
season, new background on Rick and Morty season six.
Every season, one of us is gonna have a new background.
Yeah, whether we just have to make a fake one on Zoom, it's gonna happen.
That's our new thing. So we bought this new house. And when we looked at the house originally, it was furnished. There was stuff in there, beds in the bedrooms, what have you, dressers, desks, stuff like that. Once they moved out, we bought it. Everything moved out. Chelsea went in there and she looked at the floors, and I wasn't there. And she's like, "These floors are so disgusting. The carpets were nasty and had stains and stuff like that." So day one of having the keys, my brother-in-law Howie went in there, and my son helped rip up all the carpet in the four bedrooms that we have and oh toss my. It out. We're like, okay, cool. Well, we're gonna get new carpet for those rooms, and it's a good thing we did. Although it's gonna cost some money, we noticed that but the office space that I'm gonna be in for my new background underneath the carpet. Some of the wood was rotting. There's an exit way directly to our backyard from that office space, and it's not sealed properly, so water's getting in and rotting that wood there. And so it's actually a good thing that it's a good thing for a lot of things that we took the carpet out. That one is a good because we realized there was more damage that was happening to the house, and so now we're just waiting for carpet to or flooring to come in, and then we can move the rest of our shit in.
I mean, that's good. It's good that you caught that. It also is indicative of just how terrible it is to try and buy a house in 2022 and how competitive the market is that you're like, yeah, we'll take it. Give it to us. The carpet's terrible. It doesn't matter. Just please let us buy your house. And then you find all these things after the fact.
Yeah. Which, and we didn't know the carpet was terrible when we bought it. Otherwise, we might have thought a little. I always make
it a habit whenever I go into any kind of open house, just to rub my face vigorously on the carpet, just to, you know, get a sense for
the thing that has been the worst. And Chelsea is an angel. She has been working so hard. I was on a trip where I sat in a
She's
room.
Not going to hear this, Brandon.
I know.
You can butter her up all you want.
I took my soundproofing off of the wall, so my voice echoes through the house.
There you
now.
Go. My wife is amazing.
I have to do it because, you know, this is my you know, hitting someone in the face. So I
get my wife's name out your mouth.
she's great. Like I sat in a room all week listening to people talk about strategy and vision, where she was here at the new house, like cleaning up stuff. And they had like a husky. They had a very sheddy type dog. And
shaggy dog.
The hair was everywhere in the dishwasher. She's like, I cleaned out so much dog hair out of the dishwasher. The washer and dryer, so much hair in the washer and dryer that they left for us. And there's just like so much stuff to clean. And I hate it because the house, it's ours. It's our forever home. It's going to be great. But it starts off with such a like money pit type thing.
Yeah. I mean, but also with that, I think that kind of gives you some freedom because the house isn't like in pristine condition to kind of feel like immediately have that sense of ownership and get in there and be like, all right, I'm going to change this. I'm going to update this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make it mine. I'm going to make this space how I want it to be. Whereas like the house that I last, this house that I'm in that I bought, it was like brand new, and it's like the builders like basically built it and then handed us the keys. And there's a part of me that almost has that like renter's mentality where it's like, all right, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to do too much. I don't want to like jack things up too bad because it's like a brand new house. And I feel like if I do too many things myself, then like it's going to affect the resale value, or somebody else is going to be like, oh, that's not what I was interested in. And the fact is, we don't know that this is going to be, we're pretty confident this isn't our forever home. So you kind of want to like, oh, we're only going to use command strips. No nails, no holes in the walls. Yeah. Anyway, this is really the topic that we wanted to get into on our Oscar special.
This is rapport building because we've been so busy. We don't want to talk about painting
miniatures.
We're just
going to catch up on our life's business for the last month because we've been so busy. We've barely even gotten to hang out and chat online.
Yeah, speaking about hanging out and chatting online, our kids play video games all the time now.
Yes, they do. And it's funny because my son's a little bit older than your son. Yeah. But my son is... he is a very sweet young man, and he has very youthful interests. So he seems to like get along better with younger kids. And your son is awesome. So they have been like calling each other on like their iPads or whatever, and then been playing video games for hours, days at a time. And it's just so fun to hear them like talking to each other and having that interaction, which is crazy because, like, I mean, they were neighbors at one point in history, but for a very long time, we have lived in different parts of the world. So it's just so cool that, you know, our kids can like, continue to have those friendships like we do.
Like father, like son.
Exactly. and then I hear while, you know, they're playing Roblox or something, your son like burp, burp, derp, 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 while he's playing a game. And I'm like, yeah, this is Brandon's kid. This is 100% Brandon's kid. he has definitely taken some mannerisms from his father. That is zero
conversation ability when you're playing a video game, except for making noises randomly.
Yeah. It's all good. Well, we got several people watching along over on Twitch. Welcome to the stream. I have a question for those of you that are watching. Throw your answer down in the chat. Do you watch the Oscars? Is that something that you normally watch? Is that something you never watch? And if you're listening on the podcast or over on YouTube, let us know. Leave a comment. You know, send it to us over at Apthusiast on Twitter. I want to know, are you an Oscar watcher? And did you watch the Oscars this year? Because as longtime listeners of this podcast know, Brandon is not an Oscar watcher. He doesn't tune in for the award shows. It's not his thing. He's rolling his eyes. But, well, I certainly didn't watch the Golden Globes because they got hashtag canceled. But I did watch the Oscars this year, and it was quite an interesting
event.
Production. What?
Event. It was an interesting event.
And I mean, the Oscars are always interesting, and there's like, I don't know, there's always like some weird standout things that happen. But this entire production really felt different to me. And I don't know, maybe if it was just because like 2 years of pandemic life, and it was the first time that they had like an arena full of celebrities all there in person for the actual award show. But yeah, it just, lots of things from the production felt very weird. And so I'm gonna bring up some of those to you, Brandon. I want to get your thoughts on the concepts, right? Obviously, you don't have full context because you didn't watch the show.
Correct.
But we'll still.
But can we just to divert for a half a second? I tried watching the Oscars last night. I wanted to because, well, want's a strong word. I tried to, but I couldn't get on ABC.com. It was locked.
An attempt was made.
I didn't have my antenna was not strong. I wasn't getting the local channels.
Do you have an antenna?
I do, but it's a crappy one. It's not a powered one. And,
oh yeah,
you know. So it's and I'm on the coast right now in San Pedro.
Oh yeah,
it's not super. It's
not picking not up a enough. Lot of TV signal from the ocean.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So go ahead and go to patreon.com/apathicenthusiasm so Brandon can get a
cable
powered antenna. So we can watch local channels. I had to actually watch the Oscars from my bedroom because for whatever reason the antenna in my living room doesn't like ABC, but the one in my bedroom works just fine. So I curled up in bed and watched the Academy Awards.
I also want to say on my my Google TV, when I was looking to try to get to ABC, I did a little voice thing and it's like ABC, and it went to
started playing the Jackson 5 song.
No, it started telling me the ABCs. Like you're a TV. I know what the ABCs are, man. Come on, Google Play. Stupid.
I know my alphabet. all right. So this was, geez, what number is this? The 94th Academy Awards. Hosted from the Dolby Theater in Hollywood by Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes.
Okay.
Right off the top, I thought that the hosts did a pretty good job. I'm not like a huge Amy Schumer fan, but I really liked a lot of her delivery and in this show. Wanda Sykes is great, and her I don't know, maybe it's just my like Curb Your Enthusiasm like perspective, but I like her. she did a bit where she goes to visit the Oscars museum, and if you just have to go watch it, because she's talking about how she's a donor, like she donated $15 to the museum, and so she should have her name on the donor wall and all these things, and then she's just basically giving wrong answers about all this movie trivia throughout. I don't know, it's just a great bit.
It sounds really funny.
Shut up.
it sounds really great.
I don't want to repeat the whole thing. Go watch it.
No, I will.
And then you can go probably visit the Oscars Museum whenever it opens, because you're in.
Oh, it's not open yet?
I don't think so.
Oh,
maybe it is.
Well, I mean, now I definitely want to watch that clip, so I don't have to.
If this is the tone for the rest of the episode, we'll talk about the three episodes of Peacemaker that I've watched, and we'll just call it that. I thought the show was just weird in its production value, because a lot of the awards that traditionally they would do live were pre-recorded. So a lot of the less famous, less, I don't know, like popular awards, a lot of the like sound design, best makeup, I don't know, don't know, some of costume achievements in editing. Those awards were pre-recorded hours before the actual event, and then they went back and cut into the live broadcast the acceptance speeches of those individuals, but they would like cut to the live audience as well, so it would be like, oh hey, these people won, but it was like very clear that it was not during the live show, because there was no presenter that came on stage. It was just a voiceover that was like, and next for achievement in editing, Dune, right? And like, it would say the five nominees or whatever, and then it would just say the winner, and then it would cut to like people coming up on stage and be like, oh thank you, I want to thank my producers. But yeah, then it would cut to like, I don't know, Timothy Chalamet in the audience just like excited, right? But he wasn't even in the building when that person won their award.
I mean, were they playing it like on the monitors, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like for the live, like, because that was the show was live. So yeah, maybe they were just playing that up on the monitors and people were watching it, but I don't know. It's, you got a room full of actors. So
it seemed weird.
All right, everybody, five minutes. We're coming back from commercial in 5 minutes. All right, we're going to come right out of this commercial with our best makeup category. Need big smiles. You all know how to act. Pretend you're having a great time.
Five, four, three.
yeah, so I don't know. That was really weird. And it just, it gave a, it, almost like a rushed sense to like the show, because it definitely was picking and choosing on categories where like some things were definitely more important. Yeah. And then this category, yeah, here's your 5 minutes, come on up, and then you're out. So well, I don't know, it just felt weird.
You remember a couple years back there were the podcast awards, and I think Blueberry, by the way, go to blueberry.com and use the code AEPOD for 2 months free. But I think the dude who founded Blueberry had these podcast awards. It was a couple years back, and the winners of the podcast awards, it wasn't live. They did it all on like Zoom or whatever the precursor of Zoom was. And it was such a debacle. They had pre-recorded videos for the winner, so there's no. You know, tension or like, ooh, who's gonna do it? Because like the victory speeches were all pre-recorded as it was. So it's like, I don't know. I for like a live event and you're in the audience, you're like, okay, who's gonna do it? Who's the Academy gonna pick for best cinematographer? Let me pick a different one. Best gaffer. Like, there should be excitement there.
I don't know if there's ever been like an onstage award for best gaffer.
We could change that.
You know, there's always time.
Best
there's always
Foley
time.
Artist. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like, yes, it was an attempt to try to make a notoriously long event a little bit shorter. But it didn't. It just, to me, felt a little flat, and some of those awards and those speeches, for me, I feel like end up being some of the most endearing, or like, because yeah, okay, really famous celebrities come up and accept their best actor, you know, things like that. But for some of those smaller films or some of those other roles, like, so much work goes in at that level as well. Yeah. And it's great that those folks get to get recognized as well.
It's about the magic of filmmaking, not the magic of three movies.
Of directing and starring.
Yeah. Yes, like, there's exactly. So much more that goes into filmmaking that the awards, although I don't watch them, they're meant to be a celebration of filmmaking as a whole, yes. Not just a very focused on the big three. best actress, best actor, best, well, big four, I guess, film and director. Yeah.
Other highlights from the show, they did an homage to 60 years of James Bond films.
Oh yeah.
Which was really just like a huge montage of all of the Bond clips played to some music.
They do Carly Simon. Nobody does it better.
No.
Oh really? So. Oh, yeah. Was it Billie Eilish singing her Bond song?
Well, so she performed live because we can just talk about all the musical performances. They played all of the best song nominees as performances. They were almost all live performances. The show opened with a pre-recorded epic musical number by Her Majesty Beyonce, and she recorded out actually at the tennis courts where Venus and Serena Williams like learned to play tennis, which was a big deal in the movie King Richard, right? And her song was from the film King Richard. So they like dressed up the courts and had all these people in like bright orange clothing, and she performed out there, and it was awesome. Like Beyonce isn't like in my like normal like rotation of music that I'm listening to on the regular, but
right.
I can't argue like the showmanship and talent because she's really good. She's great. And likewise, Billie Eilish, who you mentioned earlier, her and her brother Phineas were nominated for their was it No Time to Die, I think.
Yeah, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, and Billie Eilish is ridiculous. She can sing, and she definitely did that.
Yeah, she was saying, I saw just a very brief interview like snippet where she said that song forced her to belt it out, and that's not something she was normally comfortable with. And I haven't heard it, but I have no doubt that she is a talented young woman with the pipes to match.
Absolutely. I heard in an interview just before the show started that I guess they wrote that while they were on tour. And so the only way that they could record it is they had to like clear out the tour bus or like go down in like some like closet of the tour bus with like the engines off and everything, because that was the only quiet spot that they could find to record it, and so they recorded it that way and sent it in, and then it ends up winning the Oscar for best original song. So it's just so cool that like we live in a world now where someone can like grab some recording equipment and go, you know, hunker down in a closet and then win an Oscar
for sure
their work. That's really
cool. I have not seen Encanto, but that was one of the performances, right?
Yes. So Dos Oruguitas is the song that was nominated for best song. And so that was performed live. It was a nice number. But then they also did a We Don't Talk About Bruno medley, which was the high point for my kids, who have definitely watched Encanto multiple times. And like, all right, yeah, I've got all the lyrics of We Don't Talk About Bruno memorized. It's not a big deal, okay? Like every other, you know, parent that has actually watched the movie. not present company excluded. It's a bop, no question, right? Lynn's got it all figured out. But this performance started off strong with all of the voice talent from Encanto doing the first like third of the song maybe, and they're coming in and they're in like their bright costumes, but then all of a sudden they bring in like rappers and other people, and it shifts from the actual We Don't Talk About Bruno song to like a weird like Oscar parody type song, and then it's just like vaguely Latin celebrity artists at the end who are like, singing. Like we don't talk about
like Pitbull comes out.
I mean, he looked like Pitbull, but I don't know who he was. I don't think it was Pitbull, but yeah. And so I don't know. Like, all of my kids were like, "We don't talk about." Wait a minute, what are they doing now? And they're like, "Is that Megan Thee Stallion? Who is that? Which rap is that? Doja Cat? I don't know who that is." And then by the end, all my kids were just like, "Man, all right, they skipped the best parts of the song." Like, so
I know nothing about that song, but let me tell you, every time I see somebody mention it on Twitter, I think, oh, they're talking about Bruno, the movie with Sacha Baron Cohen back in the mid-2000s.
We don't listen. We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't. Every time I see Bruno, like, every time, there's a first thought, Sacha Baron Cohen, and then, oh, they're talking about that Encanto song again.
Yeah. Yeah. Dos Oruguitas. That's the one they're talking about.
Will you
other music? Be Alive. Oh, that was the Beyonce one. Down to Joy was from Belfast, and Somehow You Do. That was from Four Good Days. Music and lyric by Diane Warren. So I think that's the one that Reba McEntire sang.
Oh, Reba was there. Yeah, yeah.
Reba was there. So some solid musical performances, which I think are always pretty great in the Oscars.
I saw a tweet from one of the bartenders from the Oscars last night where he said that after the big event happened, everybody stopped drinking.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm sure.
And he also said Rami Malek and Reba were the nicest people there.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay, we're gonna talk about the slap heard around the world. It's gonna happen, folks. So just hang out, hang out. We have a few more things to cover. I showed you a clip,
yeah,
before we recorded this podcast, and this was like the COVID joke of the night, and involved host Regina Hall coming out and saying everybody's been tested here, but we have some folks that we have to get retested. And earlier in the monologue, she had announced that she was single. So then this joke proceeds where she calls very famously attractive individual men up to the stage to get their COVID tests. At some point, she talks about doing like a deep PCR test with like her tongue or something. And I don't know. It went from like a kind of a funny joke of like, okay, yeah, haha, like, okay, we're going to get these guys their COVID tests. And then it hit the point of like funny. And then it got to the point where it's like, okay, this is kind of like a little much. And by the end of the scene, like, she's Jason Momoa. And I can't remember who the other guy was. They come out to present an award, and she's literally patting them down, doing a COVID pat down, because we're in a pandemic still. Okay. it was funny, but it was another one of those moments where it was like, this joke is borderline like inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I see the humor in it. I see what they're trying to do, but like the execution is a little off.
Well, they went too long. The joke was too long.
Something you know plenty about.
Yes. Yes. But it's different. It's different when you're doing a joke that's way too long because you want to make people feel uncomfortable, to where it circles back around again and people find the humor in it.
The discomfort becomes funny.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yes.
This was a bad execution over a long period of time. Like, I didn't watch the entire clip, and it was only 3 or 4 minutes, I think.
Sure.
Well, yeah. in the abbreviated version that you sent me, which is somebody explaining what's going on. But it was like, okay, she's calling a bunch of attractive Hollywood leading men, and Will Smith is like, no, he's not going up there. And I'm like, okay, all right, what's going on
here? Foreshadowing.
Like, we're just naming a lot of people. Okay, moving on. And then she starts patting him down, which I didn't even get to that part because I was like, do I need to?
Josh Brolin. That was the other guy that she
like, do I need to watch any more of this? You're like, no, as long as you get the gist of it. And, you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, it would. Small doses. Maybe she didn't want to leave anybody out, which, you know, I can't fault her for that. I can't fault the writers for that.
She didn't pat down Timothy Chalamet. So that's probably, didn't wear a shirt under his suit jacket.
I think he's jailbait still. He looks 16. So I know he's not.
Yeah. Let the spice flow. That's all.
I know he's of age.
Yeah.
I've been watching his career for a long time.
I shall watch your career with what is the line? I don't know. Star Wars line.
It's two.
It's a prequel line, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, a few other things of note. Something that the Academy tried to do this year to increase fan interest.
Oh yeah.
And also include box office movies that do really well in theaters but don't necessarily have the same critical acclaim or same, I don't know, artsiness that makes them Oscar worthy. They did a few like fan votes, and one of these votes was something called the Oscars cheer moment. And this was intended to be sort of voted on by the fans, the moments in the theater that really get the fans just the most fired up,
super hyped.
So moments were played in a David Letterman style top five, with just very flat voiceover.
Number five.
And now our top five fan cheer moments, starting with number five, The Matrix. Neo. So it was like Neo dodging bullets in The Matrix. Number four was when Jennifer Hudson is singing And I'm Telling You in Dreamgirls, and she's like belting in that moment, which great moment. Dreamgirls was good flick. But then we get into numbers two and three. Two movies that I saw in the
theaters.
What
was number three?
I'm about to tell you. These are two and three. So
sorry. I thought you skipped. Oh, boy, my brain. I thought you skipped three and you went to like one and two. But so, like, so why, number would I, three, why would I care about two and three? I'm like, I'm waiting for one. So I thought you jumped to one and two. All right.
So number three was Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
The moment when everybody comes out of the portals and Cap gets the hammer and he says Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And literally the theater I was in erupted in excitement.
Yes.
Probably one of arguably the most like exciting moments for me in a theater after a decade of MCU, and it like all came together in that moment. Huge cinematic experience. Followed closely by number two, Spider-Man No Way Home, the culmination of the three Spider-Mens coming all together. This was their way of honoring Spider-Man and how amazing it's been in the theaters.
Yeah,
that was number two, which could only mean one thing. Number one.
Oh yeah, Flash entering the Speed Force.
And like even like the clip as it's playing, like with that Zack Snyder slow-mo and like the low slow music and everything, and I'm just like, I don't think my heart rate increased while watching that scene. So I don't know if DC fans are just like, their message boards were popping off and they're like, hey,
Let's do
this. Hit up the votes. Let's get this. Let's get it for our boy, you know, hashtag Snyder Cut. But yeah, that was like a letdown for me because I was like, yeah, no, that was not the same type of feeling in that movie as in the other two. And it felt to me like it was like a stage, like expectation, like,
yeah,
we're going to throw these five options in there and it's going to force Marvel to the top. And then the internet spoke.
Here's what happened. This is what I'm guessing, and take this as fact because I'm guessing this, is what happened was there wasn't a weighted vote there. It was sure. Popular vote, and the DC fanboys, they're like, got to give Snyder's due. Let's get him recognized. You best recognize Snyder. And in the meantime, Marvel fanboys were torn between the No Way Home because of its recency bias.
Split the vote.
And the end game.
Yeah.
I think No Way Home was bigger because of that, because it was so recent. But yeah, that's the only way I can figure it, that the Speed Force, which I will admit that him entering it was cool. Like, to me, that's cool because I like, yeah, DC stuff too. But it's no way in hell is it come close to Endgame. That scene. It's whatever.
Which of those five would be your number one? Do you think you'd go Endgame or
Jennifer Hudson?
Recency bias with Jennifer Hudson. Good call. Good call.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Obviously. Somebody said on Twitter, it might have been Alex Spearer, he's like, make an offer you can't refuse. You talking to me? And Flash enters the Speed Force.
those are his top three cheerworthy moments. Absolutely. also this year they attempted yet again to have fans vote on the most popular film, allowing fans to vote on any film. And so those included Spider-Man: No Way Home, Army of the Dead, which was Zack Snyder's Netflix zombie movie, and then the reimagined Cinderella with Camila Cabello were all included in that list. So really bizarre. Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. How did that win? I don't get that.
It was the Snyder mob is in full effect.
That movie made it happen. Pisses me off. I know you didn't see Army of the Dead, but it had some shit in it. So basically, Las Vegas is walled off. There, all the zombies are in there, and some young woman or whatever, they go in there to take supplies out of Las Vegas, get money and take the supplies back out. Batista's daughter is kind of like in this refugee camp outside of Las Vegas. And Batista, he's like a badass kind of mercenary. So he gets called to go in there and steal this money from a Las Vegas vault. And his daughter's like, I need to go save Maria who went in there. I need to save her and her daughter. And so Batista's like, no, it's dangerous in there and you don't have any combat experience. Why would I take you in there? She's like, well, if you don't take me, then I'm not going to tell you how to get in there. And so then he takes her in there. And then all their adventure stuff happens with zombies. They find the woman, the daughter and him do. They get out of there in like a helicopter, but then the helicopter crashes. And then like the daughter walks off. But you never hear anything else about the person she went in to save. It was like, what a dump. And she gets him into so much trouble. Like there's like a climax in the film where she's like, she ditches Batista to like go find this woman. And like, they're in the middle of a Las Vegas zombie thing. So frustrating. It's not
nothing more important during a zombie apocalypse than the American dollar. currency very important. In post-apocalyptic, but there's hellscapes. So,
but realistically, the point is that Army of the Dead, no way in hell could it be just based off of votes. That beats No Way Home, the top grossing film of 2021.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Somebody ran an algorithm or something. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, these wizards. But they made it happen. So you want to talk about the slap?
I kind of want to slap the fans who voted for Army of the Dead.
That was a slap right there. All right. If you've been on the internet in the last 24 hours, you know about this. You've seen it. But we will set the stage for you one more time.
Yeah. Where were you?
Chris, where was I?
Yeah, where were you?
Where was I when it happened? I was cuddled in my bed.
In 40 years, we'll look back on this moment and we'll tell our grandkids.
Where were you when the Fresh Prince slapped the Rock, Chris All Rock? Yeah, I will say this, and I don't know if this was just the fault of my local ABC affiliate or what, but I genuinely thought it was having to do with the antenna that I was watching the broadcast on. Starting at the tail end of the scene that the hosts were doing and leading into Chris Rock's presentation, where he came out to present the award, I was having significant audio issues with my feed. So I was getting no audio, and then it would cut to clips and I would get sound for that, but then the way it sounded was like if there was a microphone at the back of the theater,
uh-huh,
and that was the only one that was left on, so I could barely hear what Chris Rock was saying, but it was it was very distant. The video
crystal
stayed right. A video was all fine. So basically Chris Rock comes out to present the Oscar for best documentary. And he's a stand-up comedian. His job is to make some jokes. So he starts with, some general jokes about folks that are in the first few rows, which traditionally are the ones that are prime for ridicule in Oscar tradition. And sitting on the front row were Will Smith and his wife, and
Jada Pinkett Smith.
And so they were sitting there. If you do not follow these individuals, Jada Pinkett Smith has alopecia, which she has been vocal about her struggles with it. And so she has a very similar haircut to what I have. If you do not ever tune into the video version of this podcast,
Travis is the bald one.
I'm the bald one. So she has very little to no hair on her head. Crushes it. Rocks that look. I thought she looked awesome. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock comes out and makes a joke about her starring in the next version of G.I. Jane. Initially,
he points to her,
can't wait to watch the next G.I. Jane, right? For those of the adolescents in the listening audience, G.I. Jane was a film with Demi Moore,
yeah,
where she was a female that joined the army and shaved her head. Demi Moore got a lot of flack for actually shaving her head for that role. It's very, if you analyze the tape,
yes,
it looks like Will Smith is laughing along with the joke initially. Jada is not amused. She looks very upset and kind of looks over at Will,
and you can see her. It's like the Simpsons when Lisa goes to the awards banquet with Ralph Wiggum, And he's like, is this your girlfriend? Yes, this is my girlfriend. And Lisa snaps. She's like, I don't even like you. And then Bart is like, later, Bart is rewinding. He's like, look, you can see the exact moment where his heart breaks. And then he plays in slow motion. That's you can see that happen to Jada. Yeah. Because she's kind of laughing along with everything for a minute there. And then Chris Rock says a joke. And you can see the moment that her heart breaks. And she's like, yeah. And like she just turns and he is Will Smith is laughing along, and we don't know if he's laughing along with that joke or if he's still kind of like laughing with what was said before. You know, like, we don't know what happened at that moment, because then 5 seconds later, and it was a pretty short time between that and,
yeah, because the camera cuts back to Chris Rock and then you hear him be like, oh. Because in that moment, Will Smith stands up, walks up onto stage, and walks down. Like, the way the stage was designed, there's sort of like a protrusion towards the front. So he's kind of has to like walk down this catwalk. And he walks right up to Chris Rock and just open hand slaps him across the face.
No baby powder.
No, not at all. Slaps him, turns around, adjusts his finely tailored jacket, and goes and sits back down. Chris Rock's response is, wow, Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me, is his exact words that he says. And then in the next 10 seconds is the moment where everyone goes from, is this a funny staged bit? To, oh, shoot, the Fresh Prince just got pissed. Because Will's shouting louder than the sensors can even like affect it almost. Keep my wife's name out of your bleeping mouth. He says it twice. And by the second time, like, Lupita Nyong'o sitting behind him is like, oh, shoot. Like, this is serious, right? And so I, again, have no audio for any of this. Chris Rock says something to the effect of, wow, that was the biggest moment in Oscars history or whatever. There's a glint in his eye where you think that the professional comedian of decades could just take his experience and destroy the Smith family in that moment, but he thinks better of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He presents the award. The potentially biggest travesty of all of this
is that Questlove
wins for his documentary and it is completely overshadowed. So that, and I didn't get to hear any of his speech or anything. I need to go back and, like, because I still did not have audio at this point. And then, like, we cut to commercial, right? Like, we go, and at this point, I'm texting you. I'm like, bro, I know you don't have it, but you got to jump on Twitter. It's blowing up.
We're doing, like, AE tomorrow.
We are not doing a Rick and Morty podcast. This is not happening. You send me the unedited, completely raw video that aired in Australia because the Oscars are a freaking global event and they're shown all around the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts? What is your perspective after digesting everything that happened for 24 hours, give or take? In this response and how that all went down.
Oh, well, I will say this. Slapping a full grown man is not the way to solve your issues.
To be a vessel of love in this world.
when I was a teenager in choir, I had my sights on this teenage girl. I was a teenager as well at the time, so it's okay for me to say that. Christy Godwin, she was dating Spencer Washburn for a long time.
Spence.
And then they broke up. And Christy was talking to me, and I was talking to Christy. And, you know, like nothing was happening. She didn't care about me in that way. She just was looking for a friend to talk to. Well, one morning, Spencer and I were interacting with each other, and I must have said something wrong to him because he fucking open hand slapped me, and he's bigger than me. He's as bigger than me as Matt is bigger than me. He's a big dude, big old hand, open handed slap. And I thought back then, man, it sucks to get slapped. So anyways, so the point of that story is getting slapped sucks. We shouldn't take our anger out using violence. So I point that out. Now, I used to hit walls when I got angry and, you know, kick stuff. And like, I lash out physically. There's a part of me that like, when I get mad, like that's what I want to do. I want to smash something. I want to hit something because that's what I feel like is going to get my emotion out. Yeah. And if somebody hits the right nerve, talking bad about my family or making a joke at my family's expense, like I can understand the desire to want to slap Chris Rock. We've all had the desire to slap Chris Rock.
Nobody's not. Everybody hates Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
They made a whole show about it.
that's exactly right.
No, I mean, I like Chris Rock as a comedian, but he's a comedian. Yeah. His job is to offend you and try and make you laugh.
I read that joke wasn't rehearsed. That wasn't on the teleprompter. It wasn't an actual joke that he was supposed to say. He just kind of said it on the spot. And the thing about comedians is you're supposed to punch up, you're not supposed to punch down, and maybe it's like punching adjacent. Maybe they consider it punching adjacent because it's to another star, but it's about something that she's obviously been sensitive about. I actually watched a video today, not Oscars related. It was Sarah Silverman, another famous comedian, who was talking about how she did like the 2007 Video Music Awards or Movie Awards, whatever, for MTV, and in that segment, she was for her podcast, and she was referring to making a joke about Paris Hilton, and she's basically saying, I made this joke back in 2007. I didn't know Paris Hilton was going to be there. I didn't know that directly after the show she was going to go to prison, and I didn't know that she was going to show up at all. And I made a joke about how they're getting the prison ready for her because they're making the bars look like dicks and she might break her teeth on the bars. And she said that and then looked through the audience as the audience is busting up. And then she saw Paris Hilton was there. And she was like, in that moment, I'm like, that was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I don't think Chris Rock should have said that. Don't think he should have disrespected something that she's clearly sensitive about, a medical condition, whether it's life endangering or not. Like, we don't get to pick our traumas. We don't get to pick things we're sensitive about. But Will Smith shouldn't have fucking slapped him, especially in go behind and the scenes. Like at the after party when he's dancing, getting jiggy with it, punch Chris Rock then.
Yes. Go to the Vanity Fair party. Go to wherever Chris is at. Go backstage after you win your freaking Oscar that you win 10 minutes later, and then talk to him and be like, hey, that wasn't cool. And, you know, but when we've already talked about the global level of attention on this one night, which is absurd. Like we do this podcast every year about it. But we talk a lot about movies. You and I we love film. So like, yeah, I'm interested in what people in the industry are interested in terms of what the best movies are. But like that moment really, for me, it tarnished what could have been an awesome moment for Will Smith in winning an Academy Award for his performance in King Richard, which I thought was a great movie. I thought he did a good job in it. And I would have been way more in his corner. I would have been hyped up for, you know, this kid from Philly that, you know, is being recognized for his acting achievement. But instead, like, every word that came out of his mouth in that acceptance speech, I was dissecting. Yeah. I was critical of, apologizing to the Academy, apologizing to, you know, the event, but not apologizing to Chris Rock, as one of those things where it's like, okay, like, I'm sorry this happened, but I'm not sorry I did it to you type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
His quote about love makes you do crazy things. I saw a lot of tweets about how those are the words of like abusers. Those are like the framing of the language is like things that abusive people say to justify their actions. And I'm not calling Will Smith an abuser. I don't know what his family life is like. I know that it's not normal. I know that it is high pressure. I know that they have a house full of superstars in that house, and they have a spotlight on them that I will never have on myself. So I can't imagine the pressure that he's under.
Yeah.
But like
the part in his speech,
I can't be rooting for him in that moment because of what just happened.
Yeah. The part in his speech, and I think the part in his speech that stuck out to me, that in my couch therapist way, you know, all of us are couch therapists, but the couch therapy moment that I caught was him saying, we're expected to sit here and laugh at ourselves and get made fun of and just take it all the time, but it's hard to keep taking that all the time and just sit here and smile about it. And in like with all the stuff that's gone on in their public life in the last 2 years, like
their entanglements and whatnot,
I'm sure that pressure is exacerbated. And you know, he still loves his wife, and they still have they're still together. You know, it's something broke in him, and he shouldn't, you know, he couldn't think in that moment, and that's dangerous, and that's not a defense of him. That's like, hey, dude, you need to go to fucking therapy. this isn't cool.
Yeah.
If you're in therapy, I mean, you got to pick a different therapist.
I appreciate, you know, Tyler Perry, Denzel Washington, who went and talked to him in the commercial breaks. I saw like fan video from the rafters of how it went down in the commercial breaks and things like that.
I didn't see Chris Rock getting consoled.
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, kudos to Chris Rock for not pressing charges after getting assaulted on global television. And kind of, I mean, in a way that he's owning that, right? I made a joke. It was inappropriate. It hit a nerve that I shouldn't have said it. I got slapped for it.
Did he say that?
No, but like as a comedian, like my thought after following stand-up comedy for a long time, like, it is a tough business, and you don't, like, you develop a thick skin. It is not something that, like, because sometimes you say something in front of an audience that is not well received, and sometimes you take the brunt of it. Like, so it's DC Inc. saying, I'm not condoning violence, but you joke about somebody's significant other and get slapped for it. Risk you were willing to take, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, you can't be a stand-up comedian and not be willing to
get slapped.
Get slapped. Like, if you're gonna say stuff that could be insulting to people, like, that's a risk you're taking. And you all make millions of dollars for all the things that you do. So I'm sorry it sucks that you got slapped. I'm sorry that you lost credibility at the Oscars. Let continue on your celebratory way, you amazing human beings. Any other thoughts on this? I want to end the show on some high notes.
I don't care.
You did not. I don't think you've watched this movie. Have you watched Coda?
No. Is Chastain in it?
No. That's the Tammy Faye Baker movie.
Directed by Michael Showalter from the States.
So yes, Coda is a movie that killed at Sundance. It was picked up by Apple TV Plus. CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults. And this is a movie about a girl who is a teenager who both of her parents and her brother are deaf, have been deaf all of their lives. And she is the only member of her family that is hearing. So her family is in the fishing business. She is juggling, working on a fishing boat with going to school. And she has developed a love for singing. And she ends up taking like a choir class in high school, is really good at it. Her teacher recommends that she could do this. She could actually go to college for this. And it is a very interesting film about family and about pursuing your passions and the barriers that keep us from maybe supporting each other as well. If you have Apple TV Plus, you can go watch it right now. It's streaming. It's always been streaming. Was not released in theaters. Huge kudos to Troy Kotsur, who was the dad in this movie, who is deaf, winning actor in a supporting, best actor in a supporting role. Huge, huge thing to see. Just very awesome. And then beyond that, this film also won Best Picture, which is record breaking in a number of ways, because not only is it the first movie direct to streaming to win the highest award at the Oscars, but it's also one of only like four films that has won Best Picture without also winning, I think, Best Director and like Best Editing and Best like Cinematography or something like that. We have different tastes, Brandon. You and I, we have different films that we watch on a regular basis. You watch a lot more. Sure. I mean, it's true.
I watched RoboCop 2 the other day.
Yeah.
I could watch an Oscar movie. I watched RoboCop 2, the one with the nuke.
I would encourage you, because I believe you have access to Apple TV Plus, give this movie a try. I loved it. I thought it was great, and I was overjoyed to see this win. And I will say this as a person that took American Sign Language in college, because I thought it was a cool foreign language to try and learn. Foreign language, right? It was a foreign language credit. But it was really cool. Like, the coffee shop I worked at, we had a regular customer who was deaf, and it was so cool to open up the doors of being able to like communicate with that person better. Yeah. And understand that person more. But in the deaf community, instead of like clapping for applause, people put their hands up and shake them, right? That is American Sign Language for applause, right? Because it's a visual representation for deaf people to show that you're cheering for them. And it was so cool to see both when Guy won for supporting actor and then also for Best Picture, just the whole place standing up and shaking their hands to applaud for everybody involved with this film, to include
all of the deaf cast. And so if you want to talk about showing love and being loving, right? Like, to me, that is an example of that. That is meeting others and where they are, and mm-hmm. and doing something different to support other people. And so highlight of the night for me with that film, and really, really kind of allowed the show to end on a high note.
On a high note,
despite the previous situation.
Yeah. You know, it's going back to that Sarah Silverman thing. She talked about a joke that she had heard, and it was about, they're basically saying, like, you walk up to LeBron James with a picture of when he was, you know, in sixth grade, and you say, this is you. Like, well, yeah, that was me, you know, 15 years ago. But that's you. That's you. And the idea is that is a representation of you when you were younger. That's not showing how you've grown since then. And, you know, I would hope that Will Smith grows from this. Sure. And I would like to see, you know, us all grow from seeing a grown man get slapped on stage, and how toxicity it manifests itself in what we want to protect, us protecting people by violence. And that's no way to do it. I also want to talk about love in a different way, Travis. And this is just to close things out. On my flight back from Dulles to LAX, I decided to watch a movie to help me fall asleep. I was really pissed off for reasons I won't go into on the podcast, but I wanted to watch something lighthearted to help me try to go to sleep. And so I put on Wet Hot American Summer, Michael Showalter.
Yes.
Michael Showalter reminded me of it. And so it's on my screen in the seat in front of me, right? And there's some kind of racy parts, you know, like maybe inappropriate for kids part. And I forgot the scene in that movie where Michael Ian Black and Bradley Cooper, they sneak off, and they're in a shack.
Like a shed. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're just having sex with each other so hard. And it's the first time in an airplane that I reach up and I cover the screen. And I skip a couple minutes ahead. Because there was like a couple rows back.
Sir, there are children on this
flight. There were a couple, maybe like 3 to 5 year old kids.
The beauty of that is they're watching Encanto on their screens, so they're not paying attention to anything that's on your screen.
That's right.
They're just over there not talking about Bruno.
Mitchell versus Machines should have won. I'm just saying. I didn't see Encanto, but I just
Encanto makes me cry multiple times in a single viewing. It is
crying does not make the movie good.
It doesn't. You're right. You should watch the freaking movie. Watch the movie.
I cried to Mitchell's versus Machine.
Yeah. No. Also very good.
Multiple times.
You need to watch. You need to watch Encanto.
No, like, I don't want to. I don't like Colombians.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our
because they killed Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters.
R.I.P. That was sucky news to hear as well. Yeah. I definitely spun some.
I'm trying to bring it back.
Yeah, I spun some Foo Fighters. I spun the Foo Fighters greatest hits on Saturday for sure. On the old record player.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty crappy news to wake up to, and wild that I got to see them in concert for the first time last year.
Oh, really?
And essentially for probably the last time.
That was the first concert I ever saw. Was a Foo Fighters concert.
It's wild.
The night after I got my, well, the night of my nose getting broken in eighth grade from a dude sucker punching me.
You slap by somebody.
I'm
you
saying
fun of
it's all together. It's all tied together. Yeah. Anyway, I think that should do it.
Yeah. If I have a few other random notes, but those are going to be just for you folks in the Twitch stream. So they'll have to wait for the post show. But if you are listening to the podcast or over on YouTube, thank you so much for sticking with us. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe. You hit that like button. Let us know that you're here. Give us a comment. If you're downloading this podcast for the first time, welcome. Thank you for being here. Feel free to subscribe or leave a review, rate it over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We would appreciate it and it helps others find this content. Thank you for joining us for yet another Oscar celebration. We have Rick and Morty stuff to talk about. So if you're a fan of interdimensional RSS, make sure that you're subscribed there and stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Hollywood.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.